Listening Library presents Will Wilder, Book One, The Relic of Perilous Falls. This is the author, Raymond Arroyo. To the Arroyo children, Alexander, Lorenzo, and Mariela, who first heard the tale. If that the heavens do not their visible spirit send quickly down to tame these vile offenses, it will come. Humanity must perforce prey on itself, like monsters of the deep. William Shakespeare, King Lear. Prologue. The Courtyard of Hell. Ortona, Italy, December 20th, 1943. Nazi bombs hurled half the dome of the Basilica di San Tommaso Apostolo to its marbled floor, exposing a smoke-filled night sky. Even the stars failed to pierce the darkness hanging over the church. Shattered marble and brick, busted statues and splintered chairs rose on all sides like ugly snowdrifts. A biting cold filled the dilapidated church. Aside from the dust, the only thing moving among the rubble was a darting figure. A young man, trailed by shadows, scaled a ruined wall that had once served as the cathedral's entrance. He moved with speed and precision. He wore the green uniform of an American soldier and a round, brimmed helmet on his head. Reaching the top of the debris, he lay flat, studying the chalky pit before him. For the last 3 hours, he had fought through the narrow streets of Ortona, desperate to reach the bombed-out church. An elite team of German paratroopers, the Green Devils, had taken control of the town days earlier. Crawling on his belly for much of the journey, the soldier painstakingly advanced block by terrible block alone. Each time he dashed into the open, Nazi snipers fired from multiple positions. He was quick, but there were few places to hide. Crumbled buildings blocked alleys, and clouds of debris made a clear view of the church all but impossible. Lifeless bodies filled the cobblestone streets. The soldier pressed his sleeve to his nose throughout the journey to block out the unbearable stench. The closer he got to the church, the worse the smell. At least it was a familiar scent. Like rotting fish, it had always been the first sign for him. The sign of what was to come. The American soldier had reached the town with the 1st Canadian Infantry Division after being separated from his platoon in Sicily a week earlier. But his Canadian allies knew nothing of his personal mission: to get inside the Basilica of St. Thomas the Apostle in Ortona before it was too late. Now he finally rested on its ruins. From the canvas satchel on his back, he drew a flashlight, aiming its beam at the wrecked high altar below. Chunks of the ceiling had smashed the main altar in two, so the top stone now formed a dilapidated V. He jerked a handkerchief from his pocket and covered his nose. The stink was intensifying. With his free hand, he pulled a pair of gloves and a velvet pouch from the satchel. Then he made his move. Silently, the soldier leapt down the hill of debris and turned sharply to the left, crouching between a huge piece of the roof and the altar. With a flashlight, he studied the damaged marble. The front of the altar had shattered, exposing a shiny gold casket. The soldier carefully freed the bent chest from the broken stone. On the lid was a delicate painting of St. Thomas the Apostle, his hand raised in a blessing. The soldier removed his scuffed pith helmet, ran a hand through his thick black hair, and pressed his ear to the top of the chest. He balanced the flashlight on the edge of the container, the light catching his sharp cheekbones and wild green eyes. Slipping a knife blade into the keyhole on the front of the box, he waited to hear a familiar click. After a few attempts, the lock gave way, and he pried open the centuries-old, warped golden lid. Achoo! The soldier's sneeze echoed through the church. Outside, cannon fire and gunfire lit up the night sky in bursts. He dimmed the flashlight and spun his head around, peering into the darkness. He searched for the thing he could feel approaching, but he saw nothing. Remaining stone still, he desperately tried to hold back another sneeze. Achoo! He had to be quick. One of them, maybe more, was near. Opening the golden casket, the soldier, wearing cotton gloves, lifted out the bones of the Apostle Thomas. First the skull, then the ribs, arm bones, pieces of the legs, and finally the remains of the hands, one of which had touched the side of Jesus. He placed each relic in the velvet sack, then bundled the sacred load into his satchel.
Herr Jacob Wilder,
a gravelly, pinched voice called out from above. Startled, the soldier tilted his flashlight upward, blocking a statue of Jesus, a six-foot-tall Nazi officer in a long black leather coat straddled the broken altar stone. His skin had a yellowish tint. A trail of dried blood started at a wound on the left side of his face and ran down into a burgundy-stained collar. Dust covered his head and clothing. The stench nauseated Jacob Wilder.
I will not hurt you, Jacob. The brethren told me I would find you here.
The Nazi wheezed in accented English.
Have you got them all?
Jacob Wilder secured his satchel and yanked the gloves from his hands, saying nothing. He palmed the pith helmet, placing it on his head as he stood.
I am here to assist, the Nazi hissed, jumping down from the altar. The brethren asked me to ensure your safe passage out of the city. Do you have the bones?
Your name, Wilder demanded in a low, firm voice, pulling the brim of his helmet low. He backed up a few feet, as if preparing for a fight. What is your name? The Nazi clacked his tongue as if chastising the American for lacking manners.
Captain Gerhold Metzger of the SS, he said stiffly. I am a collaborator with the brothers at Monte Cassino, he whispered.
The officer smiled, but it never reached his eyes. Wilder pinched the bridge of his nose, stifling a sneeze. Your name, beast?
I told you, Metzger,
the Nazi gasped, stumbling toward the young soldier.
It is imperative that we see the bones.
His eyes darted from side to side.
The skeleton in your bag could be the bones of a pious monk or some beggar with no family. How do you know they belong to the apostle? Let us have a look for confirmation's sake.
Quiet, Wilder said evenly. Give me your name now.
It is hard to know what is true. If you believe those to be the actual bones of Thomas the Apostle, let us see them, the Nazi pressed, choking on every word. A bright young man like you already knows the truth. Would a saint allow this to happen to his shrine?
The Nazi released a guttural laugh, his arms jerkily indicating the wreckage surrounding them. As if wielding a weapon, Jacob Wilder raised a small vial filled with clear liquid and splashed it across the front of the Nazi. Reveal your name, serpent. Come out of them. The officer quaked and grimaced, madly attempting to scrub away the fluid, streaking down his face and uniform. His whole body trembled. Then, as if he were a balloon suddenly drained of air, the Nazi crumpled to the ground. In his place stood a pale young man with long, gleaming white hair, a suit nearly as white as his skin, and yellowed eyes. His elongated, bloodless fingers were adorned with diamonds, emeralds, sapphires, and rubies. Your name, Jacob Wilder said forcefully.
Must we? The silky voice, neither male nor female, responded. The name will do you no good.
Then his expression changed to shock.
You can see me, the creature muttered with some worry.
He waved a jeweled hand in the air and began to squeal.
You see me?
The black aura around your disguise gave you away. Humans don't have those. You're a liar, and the father of lies. The demon smirked and casually looked down on the deflated Nazi officer.
Is there nowhere for us to rest our weary head? Poor fellow died 3 days ago. It seemed the ideal time to raise him again. Well, you work with what you have.
He glanced up at Jacob and hovered in his direction.
Young Wilder, you have strengths and gifts. A seer, are we? How nice.
Wilder said nothing. He looked down at the demon's startlingly white suit, seemingly lit from within. The color was consistent except for the lower part of the pants, which were streaked with
Sample complete. Ready to continue?